Okay, let's get ready for the next talk. Addis Bladis is going to talk about X-Rander. No? Clearly not an expert on X-Rander. Addis Bladis is going to talk about Python packaging with Nix packages, pyproject.nix, and uvtunix. Let's welcome Addis Bladis.
So cool. Let's start by introducing myself. Who am I? What's my creds to talk about this at all? I first used Nix 10 years ago. It's been quite a while. Nix packages committer since 2017, so I've been around the community for a while. Nix has been my full-time job since 2018. I'm working as a freelance software consultant, so the things I will be talking about is things I do for a living. I used to be a full-time Python developer and spent a lot of time fixing Python builds for Python shops and a lot of stuff in e-commerce. So that's why I kind of, when I finally entered Nix, this became the natural combination for me to focus on. I'm author of a lot of tooling that a lot of you are presumably using, Nix Unit, unit testing suite for Nix code. Poetry to Nix previously, which I've recently given up maintainership on. We might go into why later if I have some spare time. I'm the maintainer of Emacs and the whole Emacs package ecosystem in Nix packages, and also co-authored Nix Eval Jobs together with MIC92. So let's first prime ourselves on what does Python packaging even mean from the Python packaging perspective. Like, we are not taking the Nix role quite yet. We are going to look at what does Python packaging mean and what tooling exists. So first, pip, the OG, the that you all know and use, that's an old Python-based package manager. It has a reputation for being slow, it manages environments, but it doesn't do any of the things we consider as modern package management. So, like, no log files, the resolver will happily install incorrect dependencies into your package, into your environment. So, if the resolution for that dependency that you're installing makes sense, yeah, sure, go ahead. But whatever you have in there might be inconsistent with the overall state of the world, and pip just happily does that. Then poetry came onto the stage, improved upon pip drastically by introducing log files, and it also started, was the first Python package manager to use the pyproject.toml metadata format. It did use its own bespoke dependency descriptions and everything, so it was not standardized, but it was the innovator in the space, so that's fair enough. But what they do provide, which was a massive step forward, was consistent locking. Like, you lock the entire environment together. It's a proper dependency solver as opposed to pip, which was a dependency solver, but only for the thing that you were currently touching. And then UV recently came onto the stage. It's a Rust-based Python package manager, which might seem a little bit weird to the community, to the Python community, but it's a really good thing because, well, for one, it means that there's no Python packages in the bootstrapping graph of the Python packages set. So if you've ever looked at what Nix packages is doing to make it Nix packages set going, you might have looked into these bootstrap packages. But if we use UV as a low-level builder, then we don't need that. We can just start from a clean slate where the only dependencies we have are C-based and Rust-based, as opposed to having to do some bootstrap shenanigans to make the whole set going. I mean, being written in Rust, it is very fast. Dependency solvers, they allocate a ton of tiny little objects, so doing that in Python is very slow, as opposed to doing it in a lower-level language. I've hinted to it's solving fragmentation as well, so it replaces all of the other tools, all of the low-level build stuff, but also the high-level management. So it tries to be a unified stack. basically cargo for Python. It's already massive. This 10% PyPI traffic was the last statistic that up on the slider. It was the last thing I saw, but that was already a year ago, and it's grown tremendously since then. It also introduces a concept of workspaces, which previously didn't exist in any Python package manager, which means that you can manage multiple packages together, co-developing multiple packages in the same workspace, which is obviously great for like big company monorepos and this kind of things. Sorry, I was also... I did things a bit out of order, sorry. I skipped ahead, but yeah. So let's look into the Python packaging format first, so that we have a common understanding of what the landscape looks like. We have build system related metadata like setup.py and pyproject.toml, which informs us how to build Python packages. This is how you define your build steps and how you define what dependencies you require and so forth. There's three different categories, I think, roughly. You can say project and environment managers and dependency lockers, as I hinted to with the pip poetry split. Pip doesn't really manage it doesn't lock dependencies, but it does manage environments. All of these Python packaging stuff is actually really there are very few communities that takes Python packaging as seriously as the Python world. So they actually standardize a lot of things. So we will look into this in a second. For example, like how you declare dependencies is quite complex, but it is standardized across all Python package managers. So they have a shared understanding of what this looks like. So if you've ever seen a requirements.txt file, for example, you may be familiar with the going line by line. But this is the full syntax of that. So most of the time, you just have dependency equals some version, but you also have the possibility to declare what's called extras. So this is reinstall requests with these optional features, with this dependency constraint, but only if the Python version is 2.7 or below. So while this is, of course, very powerful, it also means that Python packaging is very complex because you have built-in logic, like we do in Nix as well, how to deal with different dependencies on different platforms. Also, all these cross-platform concerns are quite tricky to get right. They also have their own completely, this is not Semver. This, all of these version numbers you see up here are valid Python version numbers. And needs to be comparable.
What does the 7 exclamation
point mean? That means epoch. It's a concept taken from Debian. So whatever. So if you have a 7 and an exclamation mark after, that will always take precedence over anything with a lower epoch. Question up there? Yeah, it is not standardized at all. That's just plus is a valid character in that format, and then GPU accelerators usually just throw this on after. There's no this just to communicate with you that it's incompatible with something that doesn't have this, but it's not standardized. The Python package managers don't really understand that.
They call it local version and they ignore it.
Yeah, they call it local version and they mostly ignore it. And of course, this syntax becomes a whole platform algebra. All of these are things that if you want to get Python packaging in Nix right, you need to be able to parse and evaluate all these expressions. And then this requirements.txt format is essentially these lines, just go line by line and install them. And the requirements.txt is often used alongside a setup.py. Setup.py is the kind of setup tools, the traditional way to build Python packages. Just this executable Python code, which is clearly problematic because you need to run Python code to be able to introspect what a package even exposes. And it was never standardized. It was just a customary thing.
Install requires here, and then also you have requirements.txt. What's the
So requirements.txt is typically used with the pip package manager. So you would be pip install -r for recursive and then requirements.txt. But that's just like an ad hoc way of installing things into an environment. But install requires is something that setup tools understands, that the actual build system understands.
So if you have this, you wouldn't need the requirements
txt? No. And oftentimes you will find that projects that will parse, that they will pull in the requirements txt in the setup.py. A couple of years ago, I think 2020 or so, this format got standardized in PEP 621. So now we have a standard static data way to express our Python packages. We have pluggable build systems. So if your setup tools doesn't do what you need, well, you just use another one. That's fine. You have this dependencies list, which is now static data. So we don't need to actually execute any code to introspect what a package does. This is also how UV manages to be quite fast, because if a thing is using setup tools, well, then it needs to run the setup py to actually figure out stuff out. But otherwise, we can just parse out whatever we need from pyproject.toml. Any questions so far on the Python packaging side? Otherwise, we will go ahead and do some live coding and show off the whole ecosystem. So let's boop. And that's my presentation, demos, and to say, I'm just going to put on a bright theme so we can see what's on the screen more easily. And if we're going to use this same example project all throughout. It's just a very simple project. It has a single file which just prints out hello Nixcon using Ninja 2 templates, which is a little bit, it's just so that we have a single package that we can use and show some problems along the way. So we're going to put on the hat as we are an experienced Python developer, but coming into Nix for the very first time, and then we'll see how your journey progresses throughout. So this is what a fairly typical Python developer coming into Nix would end up with early on. We enter our development environment. I'm using Durend here, so we are automatically activating it on entry. We are running UV sync here. We're using UV, which creates this, which from this pyproject.toml file here, where we define, we have our metadata, we have a requires Python, we have a single dependency on Ninja 2, which is the precise version 3.1.5 for whatever reason. And then we define a script, which is a binary output, like an executable output, and then which build system we're using. So it's a fairly standard, very simple Python application. So now that we're inside our virtual environment and everything, we can just execute that as, now I don't remember what the script was called, so let's look at Nixcon demo. And UV has created this here, Nixcon demo. We can execute it, and it says rendered using Ninja 3.1.6. This is not the version we defined. Yeah, I have a question up there.
We're using Flipcore as a backend.
Yes.
So how does this play? Is this automatically understood by UV?
So the question is, we're using Flitcore as a backend. How is this parsed? Yeah, UV will pull in Flitcore as is required. Yes. So this here, we have already hit one of the first foot guns of Python packaging with Nix, which is the mechanism Nix packages uses for dependencies. So in the normal Python world, we don't use environment variables or anything. We use sys.path, which contains a list of like all the lookup points that we look for dependencies in. But Nix packages use its dependency propagation and sticks this in Python path. So in every single thing that uses Python in Nix packages leaks into our closure through this environment variable, which takes precedence over the virtual environment built-in path. So let's naively try to fix that, and probably by just unsetting the Python path environment variable and try to re-execute. And now we're using the correct version. So things are pretty good. Like, this is not too terrible. This is, I think this is a pretty good spot to be in if you are just want to develop Python packages on the Nix OS, but not ship applications using Nix. So this is like a totally fine development gel. Nothing big wrong here. But we need to be aware of that Nix packages leaks its dependencies through the propagation method it uses. So oftentimes you end up with the incorrect dependencies. So as our Nix adoption grows, we refactor things and we think we wanna start using Nix packages for Python development. So again, same project, exactly the same metadata, but instead of using UV, we will now be using Nix packages purely for Python development. So again, we will try to run our code. We will quickly realize that there is no NixCon demo binary. There is no virtual environment we can run this in. Well, because Nix packages doesn't create a virtual environment. So now we need to run this manually like a stupid caveman, and even that doesn't really work because Nix packages doesn't set up appropriate Python include paths for our application itself. So what we have done here is just pulling this in, and by just sticking it in packages, we are completely relying on the propagation method. So first, let's fix that. Fix the propagation reliance by saying packages Python 3 with packages, and say ps.genia2. And now we can remove these two and say Python env. And we reload, and at least, so now we still have a Python path here, but we can again just copy this behavior from before to make sure that we are at least using the stuff that we have defined. But the keen-eyed among you may notice, well, first, we don't have the NixCon demo application, and we see here it's like, I think this may work. No, it doesn't. So it's a little bit tricky how to run this application because we want to run it as a Python script, and this is not something that is easily supported with Nix packages because it relies on what's called editable packages. I had a question up there. So the comment was there's a VNV hook which will create a VN, but yes, it will, but it does exist. But then you're back into using pip or UV to install stuff into that environment. You're not using the packages from Nix packages. So this is quite unergonomic. Why do we need to repeat all this stuff? Why do we? This is not what we want to do as Python developers. We don't want to repeat everything in the Nix code. So, as our adoption matures even more, you may want to look into pyproject.nix, which is a tool to standardize to implement Python packaging standards in pure Nix. So you can do a mechanical translation. This is essentially equivalent to what we were doing before. But instead of manually defining all of these stuff from our pyproject.toml in our Nix code, we are using this high-level abstraction where we can load in a project. This completely understands the pyproject.toml format and all of these dependency specification lines and a bunch of other stuff which is relevant to translate this into a an argument to with packages, so we render it out as a with packages argument, and then we can automatically create a Python environment where this is interpreted properly.
Question.
Yeah, question?
How about versions that are present in Python index, but maybe not in the Nix channel? Specific old version?
So I'm not going to answer this because we'll get there. Yeah.
So, if you unsetting the Python path, how does the Python end give you the dependencies?
So the question is, how, if I unset the Python path, how does the Python env give you the dependencies? Well, because it's baked into the environment itself, into the syspath environment, into the syspath variable, instead of relying on environment variables to propagate into the Python end.
So you're getting Python, when you run the Python that is on your path, when you enter the shell, the Python already knows where to find the Python.
So
Python is wrapped with something.
So. The question is, well, how does it? Yeah, the Python. Yes, the question is, how does the Python know where the packages are? Yes, it's wrapped into the environment. Yeah. Yeah, and so this allows us to still do the same things as we were doing before, but no manual repetition required. And we are still using Nix packages, so we are still using the incorrect version of Jinja 2. Like, this is not, our application is, for whatever reason, not compatible with this. And we want to use the full power of PyPI packages. And since we were already using UUV before, we might as well look into UUV to Nix. So UUV generates this UUV.log file. Let's get syntax highlighting, so you can see it contains these. It contains all of these binaries where we can download the binaries. It contains a source distribution link where we can download the source distribution. It contains these environment markers where we need them. So now we're no longer using Nix packages, Python packages at all. We are completely relying on just PyPI. And upstream packages instead.
I didn't see how you created the log file.
Oh.
You don't have Ruby already, or you don't have your environment already? How can you run Ruby?
So the question is, how can you run UUV without an environment? UUV doesn't require an existing environment to run at all. It only requires a Python interpreter and the project description. No. And you create the UUV log by running UUV log. And there you can see how fast it is when it's already cached. With UUV to Nix, we have a similar abstraction as the project abstraction, but the top-level abstraction here is the workspace. So it's all of your packages combined, not just your dependencies, but all of your local packages as well. We can create an overlay, which is used with the PyProject.nix build infrastructure. We created Python sets. We don't need to go into too much detail about how this works, because I think you're better off looking into this yourself. Just know that this exists. We create a Python set, and here we have a development shell where we are pulling in our virtual environment. And unlike Nix packages, UUV to Nix is using bog standard virtual environment. So it works with all your development tooling, all your LSPs, everything like that, which Nix packages doesn't necessarily work with. So I use PyWrite, which doesn't work out of the box with Nix packages. You have to massage the environment it creates into looking enough like a virtual environment for it to be picked up. But since we're just using the standard Python way of doing things, editors and everything just picks it up, no problem.
Good question.
Yeah?
So, we've been using a lot this function called makeEditable so that it creates an editable, well, this is the editable thing, and mm-hmm. You have it in the path. All your scripts are in the path, so you don't have to know where they are, you just type and use them. Does this have an equivalent?
So the question was, we're using this make Python editable package from Nix packages, and it provides all these scripts and things, and does this have an equivalent? Yes, it does it out of the box by saying it creates an editable overlay where all your local packages are editable inside the virtual environment. And it, unlike the Nix packages version of the editable packages support, this has full support for every single build system out there. So you don't need to manually translate over your scripts and all that stuff. It supports the full gamut. And if we just build this now, we have a virtual environment in here. And we can activate that and do all the usual stuff that we're used to. But it's an immutable virtual environment. Yeah, question up there?
This might not be in scope, but how does it work with something like NumPy, where you keep getting that C error of like C library missing?
So the question was, how does it work with binary dependencies like NumPy, where you keep getting these C dependency issues? When wheels are installed from binary wheels are installed from upstream, they are automatically run with AutoPatch Elf hook. So you will get a message saying this.so is missing. And then you add that in an override. So let's say we were using NumPy here, then we could final prev. It's really hard to type from this angle. numpy.override address, prev.numpy.override address, old book. And then we say build inputs equals old.build inputs plus whatever NumPy depends on. And that will automatically be patched out into the binary.
The problem is that you will add this one library, you try it again, the next library trade or the next dependency, and this is really annoying. Especially for PyQt, I don't know, I went to like 15 libraries and I stopped trying it.
Yeah. So the observation here from up there was that you need to repeat this for every library and it's a tedious process. And yes, that's true. I have been working to solve that in another tool I called AutoWriter, which introspects wheel outputs and everything and collects all the required.so's. Still very immature. It doesn't even have a README yet because I don't want to give the impression that it's usable state yet. But it's well, because each and every package is painstakingly packaged manually in NixPackages, it's not a problem there. But it is a problem if you want to automatically package things. So give me a second. I will take out this my example here. It's funny that you mentioned PyQt specifically. Source, git, AutoWriter stuff.
Okay, last thing.
Yeah, your time is up. Yeah, so last thing here. So this tool I've been working on is—I wasn't going to mention it, but since you're bringing it up, this is all that's required to build a PySide 6 application in terms of manual code with this automatic override generator tool that I've been building. But it's still very immature, so not something I recommend. I'm just mentioning because of your question. Yeah. Thank you very much.